from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Friday's here on the G and Ursula Show. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Fresh Friday to all of you. We're feeling good. It is officially fall.
It's official like a whistle.
Yes, it is. But I got to remind everybody, in less than an hour from now, driving around the Puget Sound area is going to get a lot more challenging. We're going to have the very latest on the I-90 closure in our top stories. And then this is going to be a lot of fun to discuss. When you think of Seattle fashion, what comes to mind?
Chef.
Gee, according to Esquire magazine, it is time for us to admit that the Emerald City is a style capital.
And Gee will tell you whether that was an insult or a compliment.
It is a Fresh Friday. We're going to talk about Seattle fashion after Heather's newscast coming up at 9:30. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO is our state roofing text line. Why don't you connect with us if you don't already? Now we're ready.
Time to get a people with what? Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And it is really official now. The first full day of fall is here. Wouldn't you know, we might get some rain to kick off the season. It's not going to be much, though, and it would be welcome considering we just had the driest Seattle summer on record. Don't know if you realize that, but the National Weather Service says we only got a half inch of rain over the last 93 days.
It's official. It's fall. And it is beautiful here. The fact that the rain, we set records. I don't want to get into the whole climate change thing. I just want to repeat just how beautiful the Pacific Northwest is. And so many across the country think, hey, it rains all the time. It rains all the time. And when we have records like that with the least amount of rainfall going on.
Just a half inch over 3 months.
Come on now. This place is beautiful. No wonder the housing market keeps going up and up and up and up around here.
So how are you feeling, though, on Monday? I mean, this happens every year, but it is a tough thing for me to deal with, as you know, because I'm all about, I love these long, long days. On Monday, the sun's going to go down at 7 p.m. The Seattle Times points out that because of our latitude, we really, really feel those extremes of the solstices.
I think we need it.
Uh-huh. The darkness?
No. Let me be really serious for a second, right? We had a lot of crime this summer. And I'm not talking about national, I'm just talking about locally. We've had a lot of crime. We need to chill for a little bit. And one thing that I know about the latter months of the year, we have a lot of holidays that bring family together. We have more people that are more grateful during this time. We are in the house more. I'm not trying to be funny, guys. We're having more comfort foods. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have an attitude if you just had some macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, you just have less daylight to cause mayhem, basically.
Right.
And it's also colder.
And it's more comfort. And so we need this time of the year. I can't get you. I can't get you to change. You just don't want this time of the year, do you?
Well, because we keep getting darker and darker, but then on December 21st, we get 8 hours of light and then it starts getting lighter again. So I will look forward to December 21st. How's that? But we do need to talk about traffic, which is going to be horrendous this weekend because of what I like to call a traffic trifecta. I-90 closing, Revive I-5 and Highway 2 still closed because of the wildfire. So Chris Sullivan joins us now to explain what this is all going to mean for us.
Well, basically, you've got about 45 minutes to get across I-90 or you won't be able to do it the rest of the weekend in the westbound direction. All lanes of I-90 are going to close at 10 o'clock right there on the west end of Mercer Island. And our good friend Nate Connors will help navigate you guys and the listeners through that the rest of the morning. Basically, they're replacing an expansion joint right there on the last, just after the last exit off of Mercer Island at West Mercer Way. And so overnight and through today, we've had lane restrictions. And then at 10, they're going to shut it down the entire westbound direction. And that will mean significant problems over the weekend. Obviously, we've got the Huskies in town. They're hot right now. So there'll be a lot of people there. I-90 is the direct route. Well, but you're not going to be, you know, you're not impacted based on where you're coming from. But people who are coming across 520 they're going to see a lot more traffic there because that's obviously the primary route to get across the lake when I-90 is closed. The other option is to go around the top or bottom of the lake on 405, which will add a lot more traffic. So and get into the Seahawk game, same deal, because 90 is the direct route right into the stadium district. So yeah, this is going to be a very difficult weekend to get around Seattle. Fortunately for Revive I-5, it's a much scaled back Revive I-5. The entire main line of I-5 southbound is going to be open.
Oh, good.
Okay, so they can handle that. The problem is, though, the southbound ramp from I-90, so you won't be able to get across. You won't be able to go southbound there. That so just one that one ramp. Highway 2 is closed, as we talked about. Hopefully Monday we'll get that reopened. There's just so much burnt wood and loose gravel that they've got to bring down before they can open up Highway 2 through the fire zone. And by the way, the express lanes are also going to be closed this weekend in both directions. So it's going to be ugly. But when you take one of those lake bridges out of commission, that's a problem. And the main other option is a toll. And they are not going to waive the tolls this weekend because they can't. So it's going to be tough.
Okay, why can't they?
Because the way the tolls are designed on 520, they're tied directly to debt repayment for the construction. So it's not like 405 or 167 where it's a congestion pricing model. That money goes directly into the checking or banking account to help pay off the bonds that we use to build the floating bridge. So they can't waive them even on weekends like this. I've asked them, people ask me, and that's the reason. It's a financial reason that they're tied to it. That's the way the project was financed.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
By the way, there's a lot of people that's mad about I-90, and so I told a couple of homeboys this morning, his name is Chris Sullivan.
By the way, the Seahawks have been notified about this, so them and their families can go a different way to get to the game.
No, and you know what? The Seahawks are really taking it serious. I've seen notices that have gone out. They are taking it serious.
Yeah. Don't blame me. I'm just the messenger. Nobody kicks the messenger into a well.
Actually, they do.
Okay, whatever.
If you tell on somebody that's cheating.
So, but if you're going to go to the Seahawks, what can you do? Just leave 2 hours early?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that what you're basically telling everybody?
Yeah.
Exactly, because you got to get there.
Yeah. How about this? The game starts at 1 o'clock. Why don't you plan on having breakfast on this side
that
in Seattle early in the morning?
Perfect sense.
Get your breakfast, relax, and then do it. Make it a full-day excursion.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell y'all right now. Game starts, kickoff is at 1:15. Do not leave your house at 12:30. Okay?
No.
Please don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to need a plan.
This is going to be my first Seahawks game.
Oh, that's right. You're going.
I'm going
to
actually meet up with
you?
Yes, I'm going to meet up
seats
with one of our very favorite.
Sweet.
No. I'm going to actually meet up
Ursula,
with a listener.
Ursula's always in the suite. You know, Ursula's fancy. You know.
No. That's G. No.
Well, good. Enjoy.
I'm actually going to be meeting up with a listener for
awesome.
The first time.
Yeah. By the way, cheer for number 44 from Atlanta, just FYI.
Oh.
One of Tommy's former teammates.
Oh,
plays
is that
linebacker
right?
for the Falcons. So, yeah, good kid.
No,
so.
But I'm going to be rooting for the Seahawks,
I know
of
you
course.
Will be. Of course you will.
Thank you, Chris.
Guys, be good.
Okay, so the start of fall means that midterm elections are just around the corner, and there's a new Crosscut Elway poll that says abortion rights, the economy, and the political divide are top of mind for Washington voters. The full poll of about 400 likely voters shows that Democrats still have the lead in races for congressional and legislative seats, but Republicans have gained ground. For example, according to this poll, Democrat Patty Murray holds a 13 percentage point lead over her Republican challenger, Tiffany Smiley, but that is a 7-point drop from the 20-point lead that she held in July. So 12% of voters are still undecided in that particular poll. 58% of the voters polled disagree with the Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe v. Wade. 16% said that abortion is an important factor in choosing a candidate for state legislature, but the economy is the biggest factor, with 22% of those polled citing gas prices, the economy, jobs as what is going to be driving their vote.
Hmm. That's because the reason why it seems like there has been this catch up, and it seems like the Republicans are starting to gain ground. In this case, Democrat Patty Murray, who held a 13 percentage point lead, now that has gone to a 7-point. That's because it's not time yet. It's not time to unleash all of the firepower that the Democrats are going to come with end of October, mid, all through the month of October. That is why. No need to be, who cares about the polls early on? One thing that we've learned in the past, the polls and this and that, at the end of it don't matter because people will say they're going to vote a certain way. They're going to say all these things. But when it comes time to vote, what they said isn't always about what they do. And I think come November, with abortion being a topic that I don't think Republicans really wanted to open up that box. That if you take away the abortion discussion and let's just say that was still on the table, I do believe that the Republicans would have won, like they say, come November. And here's why. All of us, Chef said this the other day, and he made such a good point. I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're Libertarian. I don't care what you are. Every time you go to the grocery store, you know that stuff is more expensive. Every time you go to the gas station, you know that things are more expensive. I'm not going to get into whatever Republican policies that's not out there to help with this. But at the same time, I'll say that that is something that would have hurt the Democrats come November. The fact that abortion is a huge discussion is going to be what hurts the Republicans in November.
Well, but economy is the biggest factor right now. I mean, even bigger than abortion for these voters.
But the Republicans voted against the child tax credit. The Republicans, as a matter of fact, every single time, which we can bring Michael on, and I ask these questions all the time, what policy have Republicans put out there to help with this? There's none. Is only reacting to policy that they don't like.
Yeah. Well, I just want to point out, though, in this particular poll. So in essence, you're saying you don't believe polls or there's just one indicator. And it, depending on what poll you look at, because in the same thing, and I want to just be very clear here, this particular poll says Patty Murray right now holds a 13 percentage point lead over Tiffany Smiley. But at one point, she was 20 points ahead. So she's dropped. And that's the case even in the other poll that came out that showed the race much closer, the Trafalgar Group report. It's an Atlanta-based polling group. And Tiffany Smiley was also trailing, but just by less than three points.
I believe it.
Which was, you know, basically saying that's almost negligible.
I do believe polls. I'm not saying that. I believe polls. And then I believe reality, the voting. So I believe that people say things right now, and what they say is different than what you do. We've learned that with elections, especially in 2016. We got a real big lesson about what people say and what people actually do.
For this next story, I'm going to bring you back to September of 2020 during a protest outside Seattle Police Union headquarters. A Renton man is now facing up to 10 years in prison after admitting that he brought a box of 12 Molotov cocktails and left that box outside of SPOG headquarters in the Soto neighborhood. 34-year-old Justin Moore has now pleaded guilty to unlawful possession of destructive devices, and he's going to be sentenced in December.
Good. You can't do that. And if anybody thinks about doing that and you think that that is a good idea to do, you need to learn from this lesson. You see, Ursula, I don't pick and choose who should be held accountable for crime. And for some reason, the same people that scream law and order, the same people that are, they need to be held accountable. You see, some of y'all be picking and choosing who you want to be held accountable. And I want to say again on this specific topic, good. You deserve to go to prison for those actions.
Yeah, one of the things that we hear often is that people will say, well, there were riots during the summer of 2020. How come no one cares about them or no one's being held responsible for them? And in fact, they are. And Chef compiled a list of people who have been sentenced or have had to pay a penalty for what they've done. There's a woman from Tacoma who was sentenced to 5 years in prison for torching police cars during the Seattle protests. Another guy who set a pile of trash on fire outside the East Precinct. He was sentenced to 2 years in prison back in October. Another would-be arsonist was sentenced to 20 months in prison last May. He is the other person who tried to set the East Precinct on fire. Really, the King County prosecutor has filed at least 15 felony cases related to the Seattle and Bellevue rioting, including three for crimes committed within CHOP. So it kind of does away with that narrative of, well, no one's being held responsible. Are there people who got away with stuff because of the massive size of them? You know, some of those riots and protests? Yes. But this idea that no one is being prosecuted, that is not the case. Okay, we've got to talk about the Seattle Mariners. They did win last night, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. And now there are just 13 games left in the regular season. And, of course, if you ask Rick Riz, the voice of the Mariners, whether the team will finally get to the playoffs, we want to know. Are we going to talk to you in a couple of weeks about postseason baseball?
Absolutely. The Mariners are going to get there.
For those of you who aren't counting already, the magic number is 9. Any combination of Mariner wins and Baltimore Oriole losses will guarantee a Seattle playoff appearance for the first time in 21 years.
You know who I'm happy for? I'm happy for two sets of folks. Number one, I'm excited for the entire Mariners organization. Some of you guys that's been there the entire time, year after year, you've heard people like me say the things that I've said. Here we go again, 21 years of not being in the playoffs. I am so happy for you. And the other set of folks I'm happy for are the diehard Mariner fans that year in and year out have been hanging on. You're not like me. You're not the cousin that just comes around when you get rich and now you're like, hey. So I am happy for everyone that has held on and been loyal to the Mariners year in, year out. And one last thing, Rick Riz, who fortunately comes on our show, that man loves these Mariners. Ursula, are you one of those fans year in and year out?
I have been. I wish I could.
I wish I could too.
I wish I had that dedication. And I appreciate those diehard fans.
I am too.
Much more of a bandwagon fan, and I will own that. I've gone to one game. I need to go to at least one more. But I'm just happy for this entire region. We need something to all get behind. Doesn't matter your political leaning. It doesn't matter anything. We could all just be really excited for a team. Mm. And that's something that we've missed.
I bet you.
I think for the Seattle Mariners, I think this is fantastic.
I bet you. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try to find hate in the Seattle Mariners making the playoffs.
Please don't. It's a fresh Friday. Okay, still ahead. Is Seattle a mecca for fashion? Esquire says yes.
Chef says yes.
So we're going to talk about that next. This is the G and Ursula Show. Music is apropos for what we're going to be talking about next, because I want your opinion. Is Seattle a stylish city? What do you think of when you hear the term Seattle fashion? Gee.
I think of fall. I feel like when I see people dress in Seattle, it doesn't, I mean, as long as it's not 100 degrees, I think people dress for it all the time. So I'll see the usual button up that's kind of open with the T-shirt up underneath. And it might be some khaki pants. It could be flannel, but it could be the khaki shorts or the khaki pants. But really, I think Seattle, when I think of Seattle fashion, the first thing I think of is, you know, outside of the North Face jackets when it's cold and raining, I think of someone wearing a button down shirt open with a T-shirt underneath.
Okay. So the reason we're asking this is because there's a big article in Esquire magazine, and the title is, "It's Time to Admit That Seattle is a Style Capital." And Andrew Mattson is the writer, and he says there are three pillars to Seattle fashion. Grunge, agree. I would agree with that.
Agree.
GORP. I had to look that up.
What is that?
It stands for good old raisins and peanuts.
Trail mix. So, you know, Patagonia jackets, yes. boots, fleece, that kind of, you know, comfortable, functional outdoor gear.
Yes, 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 yes. So, and then graffiti would be the other one. So we're going to get into that in a second.
Okay.
But, okay, yeah. So the flannel, boots. So the GORP core is a utilitarian style defined by functional outdoors inspired gear. So, and he's pointing out people like Frank Ocean, Drake, Macklemore, who you just heard, mm-hmm. as artists who have promoted and adopted Seattle style.
Right. So here's the thing about Seattle, and I'm not trying to knock on it. I believe that style and your style, I think it is great. Like, if you are thinking about style, do you dress how you want to? I think my biggest problem that I've learned over the 20 plus years that I've been here is the non-caring. And so because I feel so many don't care, they end up looking really sloppy. You know what I mean? And so I don't care what you wear. If you wear something like, ooh, those are hideous shoes, or that's an ugly shirt. Whatever you wear, as long as your hygiene is good, and as long as you aren't sloppy looking, it's fine. But that is style.
But that is, that's just clothing. When I think of style or fashion meccas, or, you know, I think of New York, London. Seattle, to me, is one of the things that is really cool about Seattle is that the general feeling for me, as long as I've lived here, is that people don't care that much about style. Apparently, I am really wrong. I love that people have no qualms.
Right.
Even some of the richest people will have no qualms about going thrift store shopping.
You're right.
Which is part of Macklemore's song.
You're right.
Yeah, that you don't have to announce that you have a lot of money. There's a lot of wealth here, but you don't have to announce that you have a lot of money by, you know, just getting decked out all the time, that people will just really dress it down.
I completely agree with you, or disagree with you on the lot of money part. It's just that we don't realize it's a lot of money. Look at the average person, like, walking down the streets of Seattle. They got a $200 Patagonia jacket, $200 Danner boots, $300 Arc'teryx pants, $100 Piranha shirt, and a $400 Filson bag.
So it costs
$1,200
to be grungy?
Yes, exactly. To look just like an average Pacific Northwesterner. And until you actually go into an REI and see the price tags, you don't realize that people are walking around with Brooks Brothers suits style like clothing for the money. But the thing is, it's actually functional. So I approve.
So for me, right, growing up in my household, my mom, and if she's listening to this, this is where I got to compliment her. My mom has always been about style. She is like the biggest Jackie Kennedy fan. As a kid, she dressed me up like John John all the time.
Cute.
I was in the shorts, yeah, the little shirts and all that stuff. As a kid, she dressed me up. I was always decked out. That's just her thing. Two things: a clean house and a clean person. And I think that was her way of telling the world, like, look, maybe we don't have much, but what we have, we're going to look and do the best that we can. And so that fashion sense for me has always come. Now, when I was younger, my parents were able to buy all those clothes for me. So when I became an adult and obviously was broke my entire life, I did the best. So you guys hear stories about the spinner belt buckles and all that kind of stuff. That was me trying.
Yeah.
Now today, I dress for me. Like, it makes me feel good when I wear those things.
Yeah, and I'm going to just say right now, you've got a denim jacket, a bright red shirt, a beautiful gold chain, khakis. You look fantastic.
Well, thank you.
I know it's the first day of fall, so this is like the debut of your fall wardrobe.
Absolutely.
Oh, the shoes.
The Balmain shoes.
That you had Dave Ross wear. Okay, you put it on our Facebook page, the Gian Ursula Show Facebook page. Okay, Dave Ross's feet were swimming in your shoes, first of all.
These are really
I don't even want to know. So then I heard Dave asking if you would ever go hiking in those shoes.
Oh, no.
No, no, no. And then you told him that you have an entire room full of shoes just for your shoes.
No, well, it's also wardrobe, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, look. When I was at,
I share a closet with Long Live Mark in the remodel that is changing.
Right.
When finally, it took me 30 years.
Okay, ladies, and I'm speaking to ladies now. How many of you guys love, or when you see on TV and you see them have that walk-in closet, or you see the girlfriends drinking their wine, they got the little stoop in the middle of the room?
Oh, can that's I just, what's happening.
Can yes. I just tell you guys?
Yes.
As a kid, I always wanted that. Like, it's like, I want that. I want the room. I want the room that I can walk in and be like, yeah, what am I going to wear today? To me, that's success. I don't need a boat. I don't need fancy cars. But I want a room to go in and be like, what shoes and shirt and pants do I want to wear today? That's success. That's rich. That's wealth in my mind.
I love it. Okay, what's coming up next?
Coming up next on the show, Starbucks is in the news. Okay, so Starbucks basically is saying that they want to make a change to meet the market changes. We're going to see if you, Ursula Chef, agree with these changes. We'll discuss that next. Gene Ursula.
When the cops bend us over while upholding the law, despite the sight of coffee shops at every single block nearby, it's supply and demand.
It's Gene Ursula. Happy Fresh Fridays to all of you. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Michael Medved will join the show. But right now, we need to talk. So the Seattle Times says that Starbucks is shifting focus from community to convenience. So we're going to need your help as we talk through this. Maybe you guys know some things that we don't know. So the Times points out that new stores opening with automated machines, more drive-through and pickup only stores, and the company's own reinvention plan that focuses on experiential convenience. Ursula, basically they're saying that that the old third-party hangout community meetup is no more. This is going to be the new. People want to just drive up, get their coffee, no talk, no nothing, get the coffee and go. Your thoughts, my friend?
Okay, so I need to rely on our listeners because, as you know, I'm not a big coffee drinker. But when I go to Starbucks, I don't go to hang out. But I distinctly remember when Howard Schultz said he wanted Starbucks stores to be that third place for everybody, that it was your place between work and home, and that you could linger as long as you want, you know. And so I think a lot of people did that. I think the pandemic changed a lot for a lot of people. Yeah. And then the company is saying that safety and a lot of their baristas don't feel, or their partners don't feel safe. And so things are changing, right?
Right.
I don't think this is going to be a good thing for Starbucks, because I think one of the reasons people would go is because it was a meeting place. But again, I need to hear from those of you who do use Starbucks as that third place. Is it going to change it for you? Are you just going for the coffee?
No. I'm not just going for the coffee. I am going for the partners that work there. I love, and I'm not just saying this, I love dealing with the partners, those that work, the baristas for Starbucks. I love the community aspect of Starbucks. I love being able to, back in the day, hey, first date, Starbucks. Coffee. You want to have a meeting with somebody? Let's meet at Starbucks. You want to start the G and Ursula show? We're going to meet with our manager. Where do we meet?
Starbucks.
And I want to be clear. And let me really clean this up and button it up and really give you an explanation, Chef. I didn't get Lillian with my looks. What I'm saying is Starbucks, you ain't really getting us with your coffee. Because if you want to talk about just flat out coffee, you don't have the best out there. Right. You don't. But you do have the best community. And in the case of Lillian, I do have a good personality and I can talk. If it was just on looks alone, trust me, I was not getting Lillian. And if it's just on coffee alone, Starbucks, you're not just getting this with your coffee.
Well, I'd like to point out that we might have had the meeting with the boss at Starbucks, but where did you take Lillian on your first date, G? It was not a Starbucks, correct?
It was Anthem down in Puyallup.
Exactly.
Shout out to Anthem.
Exactly. I think Starbucks has been outgamed by the third place idea. So they introduced that concept, but there are so many other places that do that so much better, and they have much better coffee. Starbucks is a commodity. Starbucks is Olive Garden. You know exactly what you're going to get no matter where in the country that you go. And I don't think that a lot of people think of Starbucks as, oh, here's a place I want to hang out. It is a place with generally a very clean bathroom. You know what you're going to get in terms of atmosphere and environment. It's a great place for a quick meeting, but you're not impressing anybody, like a date. You're not taking anyone on a date to Starbucks, and you're certainly not meeting up with a good friend at Starbucks generally. You're going to go to some place where, oh, maybe I can get some better pastries if I'm not into coffee, and I get an espresso that's better poured.
Independent.
No.
Coffee shop. Then.
Yes, yes, Ursula. And you make a great point. Your great point about the community. There's community coffee shops that are doing what Starbucks started better. Here's the problem. You don't know which communities those are. Because let's just say you are outside of your regular community and you want to go to this neighborhood. And then you go to this neighborhood and you say, and I know all you coffee drinkers, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, that looks like a nice place. And you go and you grab the coffee and you go to get it. You're like, what is that battery acid, right?
Oh,
it needs.
Ouch.
The thing about Starbucks is the same thing about McDonald's and the same thing about Burger King. The reason why those places are so popular, because like you said, you know what you're getting. I know that if I'm down in Vancouver, Washington, or if I'm in Everett, Washington, or if I'm in Bremerton, I know that the coffee at Starbucks is going to be my thing. Now, when I'm at home in my community, I'm going to my Bigfoot Java, my spot right there where I go.
Okay. So maybe Starbucks is recognizing that people don't use it as that third place. And so they're going to adjust. I'm sure that a lot of thought has gone into this also. You probably need less help. You need to, I mean.
Yeah, less right? money.
Can I ask you as a non-coffee drinker, Ursula? Which establishments do you go into more? You go to Starbucks, Bigfoot Java, Gravity, or all these other community coffee shops? Which place do you, even though you're not a coffee drinker, which place do you usually go to, if there's ever a place?
I love the, you know, like Grand Central Bakery, for example. Or I love the non-big chain stores because of the pastries and other things that I enjoy. Yeah. But when it comes to just convenience, I mean, there's a Starbucks everywhere. So if I'm looking for a Frappuccino, I'm going with Starbucks, obviously.
I think a big thing is like you said, you know what you're getting. I hate going in a new place and it's like, how long am I going to take to decide what I want? How long am I going to read this menu, you know?
True.
People are texting in. And by the way, very nice text. 253 says, don't dish yourself. You're a fine-looking man. Look, I'm okay-looking, but I'm going to tell you right now, Ursula, if you think I got Lillian off looks alone, okay, even you agree with that. You would agree?
Well, you charmed her and in many different ways. How's that? Including your appearance. I'm sure if she didn't think you were attractive.
I was in shorts and a T-shirt.
Physical appearance isn't what makes everything attractive. It's not all about your physical appearance. Just remember that. A lot of people are weighing in right now. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. I think it's kind of a mixed bag here.
Maybe it was the shoes.
Maybe a lot of people.
Oh, you want me to say more?
No. Maybe
it's very awkward if I'm going to talk about your looks.
No. Maybe people are taking the Ursula approach. They're just both sides.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yes.
No, you're right. It is a mixed bag right here. Hey, coming up next, Michael Medved is coming in to hang out with us. Can't wait for that. Gene Ursula.